Welcome to the Nonprofit Mastermind Podcast. I'm Brooke Ritchie Babbage. I've been in the social impact game for 25 years as a social justice lawyer turned two-time nonprofit founder and leader turned growth strategist and coach for leaders around the country. I grew my nonprofit from me and an intern in a tiny closet to a high-impact seven-figure organization. And along the way, I learned so much about how to build an organization that has real impact and how to do it without burning out. In this podcast, I share the nuts and bolts of all of it so you can do that too. We dive into the mindset, strategies, and tactics of how to scale a high-impact organization and how to do it in a way that's truly sustainable. I'm really excited about this episode. I find that I love talking about this idea of leverage, which I've been focused on this entire month, both here in the podcast and in my newsletter, Leadership Forward 321. I talk about it on my coaching calls inside my Next Level Nonprofit program, and it's really a centerpiece for how we structure all of our work inside the program and support leaders' growth and process of sort of navigating the messiness of all the things. So I spend a lot of time thinking and talking about how to get essentially more return on investment from time, energy, money, etc. One of the things I've come to understand is that while there are an infinite number of approaches to leadership, as there should be, there is no one right way to lead. And I just think people are happier and more fulfilled when they internalize that fact, right? There's no one right approach to leadership. However, there are some approaches to organizational growth that are tried and proven. There are core principles that really go to the essence of what really works to help an institution grow and grow not just bigger for the sake of being bigger, but grow in a way that lasts, that is sustainable, where the impact doesn't feel like you're constantly sort of slogging through mud or climbing up a wall by your fingertips. And a lot of these I've learned in a number of the business books that I love to read. It's one of the reasons that I love, in particular, the book Good to Great for the Social Sector by Jim Collins. He drives home the fact that there are these common frameworks, these common principles and approaches that highly effective leaders learn and integrate into their approaches to growth and their approaches to leadership and institution building in particular. So I'm going to walk through five that have really resonated with me and that I've seen both in practice and in my research to be super powerful, that speak directly to how to increase leverage in your work, the return on investment of your time, energy, effort, and money. Now, you can get this whole series where I sort of bring together all of the podcast episodes where I talk about this idea of leverage in different concrete ways at brookritchiebabbage.com/leverage playlist. I also include the entire toolkit around this inside my new Leveraged Leadership Strategy Bundle, how to plan a CEO day, visioning, planning sort of staff retreat, except just for you, how to form your own mastermind, a self-coaching guide, an annual planning workshop to help you craft sort of a strategy, annual and quarterly strategy for yourself as a leader so that you can be highly intentional and leveraged in your work. And breakdowns of how three of my favorite business books apply to our sector, from growing your community to designing your sort of signature talking points and building your thought leadership. And you can get that bundle at brookritchiebabbage.com/leverage bundle. Okay, so first, the idea of a balanced scorecard. The balanced scorecard is like a report card for an institution, but instead of just grades, it shows how well the institution is doing, typically in four big areas: making money, making donors and stakeholders happy, getting better at what they do, and learning and growing. The idea is that it helps leaders know if you're on the right track towards achieving whatever goals you've set for that institution. So let's break down how this balanced scorecard idea can be a game changer for your nonprofit. Think of it like your strategic Swiss Army knife. By breaking your organization down into parts and giving you insight into each part separately, it gives you information to choose your most effective, highest ROI ways forward, based on more than just finances and money in the bank, which is often what we look to. It zooms out to give you a full picture by focusing on these four areas. Finances. How good is your financial health? It's a snapshot into many metrics of financial health. Stakeholders. How satisfied and engaged are your donors and other stakeholders? Are they getting what they expect from your work? Internal processes and operations. How well is the organization running? Are systems working the way they're supposed to? Is everything sort of ticking along nicely? Or is there friction? Are there cogs in this wheel? And finally, growth and learning. Are you and your team getting better? Are you learning new things? Are you really developing, innovating, trying, failing, growing? By adopting a balanced scorecard, nonprofit leaders can leverage their resources and efforts way more effectively. This framework really allows you to pinpoint exactly where to focus your energy and investment across these four buckets so that you can maximize your impact. Rather than saying, I think we need to do some donor engagement and board development and really focus on major donor fundraising and stewardship, your balanced scorecard says, actually, you're doing okay in this area. What we really need to focus on in the area of financial health is liquidity. What we really need to focus on is upping our evaluation game so that we can learn and iterate more effectively and perhaps more quickly with our programming, right? It helps you focus. Essentially, it's just about doing more with what you have, with the information that you have, organizing it and letting it tell you a story so that every action you take and every dollar you spend is actually moving your organization in the direction you want it to go. It increases your ability to be intentional by multiplying the return on investment of your information. Okay, so that's a balanced scorecard. That is the first framework that I want to go through. Love a balanced scorecard. I use one inside my business. Any dashboard of any kind usually makes me happy. Okay. The second framework that I want to talk about are called objectives and key results, or OKRs. OKRs in the nonprofit sector help organizations set clear goals that are aligned with their strategic vision. So most often you will hear about or work with OKRs in this context. You have a strategic plan. You have, I hope, a core longer-term strategic vision that defines success for the organization and what impact looks like in the future and at scale. You have three, maybe four core priorities, areas where you're going to lean in organizationally, and those become the organizing, strategic organizing buckets for your work. And you have your goals. What are you going to achieve and hold yourself accountable to within these core priority areas? Your OKRs are your next internal planning layer. Right? Externally, you use the vision, priority, and goals as marketing and fundraising, messaging, and tools to help with board development, et cetera. But internally, one of the most powerful ways to actually operationalize your strategic plan, priorities and goals in particular, is to develop OKRs. Your objectives define what the organization aims to achieve, right? It sort of concretizes your goals for a year at a time. And then your key results are the measurable outcomes that allow you to track progress towards those objectives. And that's a step that organizations often miss. They try to go right from goals to activities. But actually, what you want to ask yourself is, how do we know if we're moving in the right direction? How do we know if the things we're doing on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis are actually aligned, really aligned, not just sort of back of the envelope aligned, with the goals that we've set, right? The outcomes we said we want to achieve. So I think operationally, OKRs are really, really critical. And on a sort of deeper level, they also help leaders build a culture where everyone knows what success looks like. and how they can contribute to that success, right? It allows you to track in a way that's standardized, in a way that everybody understands. OKRs keep everyone in the loop, from team members to other stakeholders, and it makes sure that your efforts are laser focused on the right things, things you've agreed on that are actually sort of bricks that you're laying in building this house. By bringing OKRs into the mix, you're not shooting arrows in the dark, right? Hoping that you are going to achieve the goals that you set out to achieve. You're strategically aiming for targets that you know will move your mission forward. It allows your organization to stay nimble, to be ready to pivot, to learn. We thought we were going to do it this way. We've been tracking. It's not working. Do we need to pivot and adapt, right? It allows you to be responsive because you've notched down to this level of thinking and planning together, co-planning that can be changed and adjusted. So that's the second framework that really increases your ability to act in a highly leveraged way. Being super crystal clear about your objectives and key results as a way of translating your longer term strategic priorities. The third that I want to talk about is the RACI matrix. That's an acronym, R-A-C-I, RACI matrix. You may have heard of the MOCA matrix or the Darcy, D-A-R-C-I matrix. I really like RACI. They all work. But basically, these are project management tools, project management and organizational planning tools. And they're used specifically to clarify the roles and responsibilities of people who are working together to achieve a particular outcome. This kind of matrix, the RACI matrix, defines who is responsible, accountable, to be consulted, and to be informed for each task in a workflow. And it helps to make sure that communication is clear, ownership is clear, sharing of information is clear across projects and across teams. Now, this is particularly useful for organizations that want to grow. And the reason is that as you grow, clear roles and responsibilities are absolutely critical, both for maximizing the impact of limited resources, right? Often, the pace of your growth is not exactly calibrated with revenue, with staff, right? So it's really important that people not spend time on things that are not actually aimed at the right thing, right? The time is really, really precious when you're trying to grow. So is money. It's also really important when you're trying to grow. And most of the work that I do with organizational leaders is around growth, right? It is organizational leaders, they come to me because they've arrived at a point where they're either stagnant or for whatever reason, they are ready to sort of take the next step. And things can get really messy when you are ready to go from sort of one type of organization or one place in your organization to a different set of rules, engagement, systems, and processes. And so being really clear about who does what, who owns what, who needs to know what, even when it feels like, wait, this is a lot of sort of persnickety information. Actually, particularly when things are changing, which is what growth is, that level of detail around ownership, responsibility, and accountability becomes really, really important for helping teams move smoothly together, reduce redundancies, and reduce friction. And that's critical if you want to grow. The RACI matrix, or something like that, makes sure that everyone on your team, and this can be your staff, this can be your board, anybody involved in a workflow, they know their specific roles. They know what they need to do to move the work forward. It really helps with efficient decision-making and execution of projects, which when you're trying to grow is super important. So that's the third framework, the RACI matrix, or a project management and organizational planning tool like that. The fourth one I want to talk about, I actually talked about on this podcast recently in way more depth, and that's flywheels. I talked about the flywheel concept last month. I will link to that episode in the show notes, and it is also in the leverage playlist playlist that I talked about at the beginning. The flywheel concept is a model that's used to describe how organizations can build momentum in their systems by aligning and reinforcing their activities. It's sort of bringing things into alignment with one another in a way where every success feeds into the next step, making it easier to achieve sort of subsequent steps, subsequent goals, and drive growth. Imagine your organization is a giant wheel, okay? Each effort you make, each activity, each task, everything you do in a system, whether it's fundraising, getting volunteers involved, delivering programs, right? Everything you do is like a push on that wheel. The more you fine-tune those activities, the less effort it takes to keep that wheel spinning, the less effort it takes to push, which means you get more impact with each turn, right? You've learned more, people are working together in better ways, you realize, oh, we don't actually need to push five times every you know, week, we can push three times, and if this person up here does this thing, then the wheel keeps spinning. Oh, that system works better that way. You optimize your systems so that each step sort of propels the next step, right? Flywheels are about creating a cycle where success breeds more success. The effective completion of one task triggers the next task automatically. And flywheels, whether you recognize them externally when you sort of look at high impact, sustainable nonprofits, whether you see them or not, flywheels are actually central to how any institution sustains itself at scale, right? You cannot just do more work to get more impact, because at a certain point, your effort, your time, your energy is going to hit a wall. That's the burnout that so many of us experience. So you have to think about ways to create systems that can become self-perpetuating, right? And that's what a flywheel is. When you leverage the flywheel concept, you can make every aspect of your organization work for you, right? You turn your initial efforts into a self-reinforcing cycle. I really encourage you to listen to the episode where I walk through what a flywheel is in way more depth and give some examples. I also included concrete sort of flywheel workflows inside my Leadership Forward 321 newsletter a few weeks ago. So if you are not signed up, you can do that at brookritchiebabbage.com/leadershipforward and check out the archive, look for flywheels. If you are signed up, check out the archive and look for flywheels. It's a great newsletter article. It's very concrete. So the last framework that I want to talk about is the Pareto principle, or the 80-20 rule. And I love this one. Most of you, many of you have probably heard of this. The 80-20 rule is a really valuable just concept for anyone in a leadership position to identify and focus on. And it helps you focus on the activities that will yield the most results. It's probably of everything I've talked about. Well, no, definitely flywheels. All of these pertain to leverage, but the Pareto principle is really just about leverage. It's just about focusing on those things that will give you the highest return on your investment. It basically suggests that, or states that, roughly 80% of results come from 20% of your effort. And it suggests that a small set of intentional, correct efforts or resources will lead to the majority of your positive results, right? Now, for nonprofits, this can mean noticing, and you can see this principle play itself out and really lean into it and maximize it or optimize it, noticing that most of your funds come from a handful of your donors, right? That's something we've talked a lot about in fundraising spaces around sort of the donor pyramid, right? Or a few of your programs are actually making the biggest waves in your community, right? Identifying where that 80-20 relationship exists and leaning into that 20 means you are getting leverage. That's how you know that you are operationalizing something in a way that is high leverage. And when you grasp just this idea, it can help you smartly direct your energy and resources to what really moves the needle, making sure that you're not just busy, but actually effective. So, to recap, I have shared five principles that, and frameworks, approaches that are ways you can think about bringing leverage and operationalizing leverage into your own leadership. The balanced scorecard, OKRs, the RACI matrix, flywheels, and the Pareto principle. I invite you to think about what it might look like to apply one or more of these in your own organization and to come back next week for more discussion on leveraged leadership. I'm going to do something special next week, mini episodes every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week will be hyper tactical, super focused, quick tip episodes about how to operationalize leverage. And I'll sort of use that to wrap up our month-long exploration of leverage. So again, if this is something that you are sitting with in your own organization, check out the playlist, brookritchiebabbage.com/leverage playlist. And if you would like the templates, tools, trainings, and resources to implement, you can grab them in the Leverage Leadership Bundle, brookritchiebabbage.com/leverage bundle. I'll see you back here next week from our mastermind. Thanks so much for joining me this week. If you enjoy this podcast, I would love for you to leave a rating and a review. I read every single one and they really do matter. I also share extra tidbits and resources building on what we talk about here in my newsletter, Leadership Forward 321. You can sign up by texting the word impact to 66866. And finally, definitely check out the links and resources that I mentioned in this episode at brookritchiebabbage.com/podcast. See you next week.